I want to ask Mike, you mentioned at Falcons training camp yesterday, there was a play you spotted that might have implications for a competition battle that's happening.
Gave me anxiety.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And I know that you guys love it when I'm honest, but, and I think Bo probably caught this one as well. I know Dave Archer probably did. There was a point in time during a team drill that it looked like the center, who was Javon Gwynn at the time, who was in a battle for the backup center spot, thought they were going on two, and they went on one. Mm-hmm. And everybody else moved, and there was no snap. Ooh. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm sweating right now. And what do they immediately do? Get out! Get out!
Oh.
So they pull him off the field, and he is replaced at the center spot. And it's just one of those things moving forward that you're going to have to deal with. I'm sure he'll be better for it in the end, but it's just something as a center that cannot happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot do that. You have to be the first person that knows the cadence at the backup center spot. And so when you see that battle, you know, begin to come to fruition, and everybody's talking about Javon Gwynn. You remember how big of a role Ryan Neuzel played a year ago, and now he is the starting guy. Javon Gwynn is that guy from a lot of different reasons. So I don't know, man. Joshua Gray, I think, is another name to kind of keep that's involved in that situation. He's the rookie out of Oregon State that they kind of have high hopes for. I'm pretty sure he is the guy that replaced Javon Gwynn on that next snap. But, yeah, not good. It's definitely something that popped out to me. And there's been a bunch of situations that I'm like, oh, man, can't do that. Can't do that. Oh, look. Holding calls here and there. But, yeah, I mean, that was one of a few things that kind of jumped out at me yesterday. I was like, oh, that's not good.
So how much do you think, going back to the dorm last night, Javon Gwynn was thinking about that?
Oh, but like, miserable.
Yeah.
Absolutely miserable as he goes to sleep last night. And then walking back across the field today, knowing that you'll probably rehash some of the things going. And when you get in the walkthrough, somebody will probably say, don't mess this up, Javon. Don't mess it up. And you're like, oh God. I hear you, man.
I just had it wrong.
Just one time. But it's one time too many when you're playing the center spot. But I honestly, we saw a couple of screens yesterday, Tyler Allgeier. I thought Javon Gwynn on a couple times when I saw him actually moving out in screens, I thought he moved well in space. So that's kind of going to be his upside. But it was cool to see that yesterday as well.
I was standing there with somebody in the media and they said, need to run a few more of those three count screens. Why don't we do more of that? And I was like, because you don't run them effectively.
That's what we talked to Lindstrom about.
Yeah. But that's what I said to that person. They were like, yeah, well, I mean, I was like, what do you want him to do? Like, I mean, I get it. I'd love to see more shallow drag routes, especially in Kyle Pitts working them in. But if you don't think you're going to run them effectively, then you're not going to do it. They're trying to win a game, not run the play you want to see because you play it on run it on Madden.
Well, and it is nice to see. And there is a difference, too, between like the tunnel screens that we've grown accustomed to that are thrown out to wide receivers very, very quickly, or the three count. I always used to call them jump and dump screens where, you know, the quarterback's just trying to dump it over the line of scrimmage. It would seem that we are really well suited for that with the size and stature and athleticism that we have at the guard position, as well as, you know, the wiggle you have out of Bijan Robinson. That you would be well suited for that. So I this is as early as I've seen screens start to get involved, you know, and so hopefully that does lead to more practice and therefore them being better at actually running them during the season. So we'll see how that pays off. But, you know, we saw it multiple times last year. You're playing the Broncos, screens are a good thing.
Wouldn't you think if you're good – well, it's really good when you got a defense that plays 7 to 10 yards off the football, even in the red zone. I mean, when you're inside the 10-yard line, that means basically the defense is standing in the middle of the end zone. Wouldn't you say, though, that if you're a team that's good at pulling guards and such is also good at screens, but we don't pull guards, so we never pull. So maybe we think we're good at that, but they know that we're not.
Well, and that's why when Dylan and I had Chris Lindstrom on Sunday, I wanted to ask him kind of what he had focused on. And the same things that we're talking about, athleticism in space, is something it's what you need for wide zone as well. You have to be able to pull the, you know, I always – reference back to Jason Kelce, you have to be able to pull that athleticism in space and latching on to linebackers at the next level. And that's what you would think is good for a screen and for our, you know, for our guys. And Chris Lindstrom just kind of hammered home and kind of put me back in my place. He's like, you know, what I focused on in the offseason was the things that I'm good at that I need to be even better at. And that's running wide zone and, you know, focusing on communicating with my teammates, because that's what we are. We're not a screen team. We're not a gap scheme. We're not a power team, things like that. I do think there is room to introduce those things. And I think that as Zach Robinson grows as a play caller and his relationship with Dwayne Ledford, you know, kind of grows in that run game coordinator kind of thing, I think that's something, you know, stuff they'll put in. They ran Wham one time last year with Charlie Warner blocking from the outside in on a three technique. It's not something that you ever see, but they put it in And we've got to be better inside the 5-yard line this year. And so I think that there's going to be room for that as well. just because they're pulling guard doesn't mean that they pull on power inside the A-gap. They can pull outside as well. And we've seen Jake Matthews do that a time or two when you get inside the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. And I think there is room for that. So I'll be curious to see how that pans out. But, yeah, it's just not what we've seen so far. And I'm sure there's a story to it.
This feels like an evergreen comment. We got to be better inside in short yardage. It's like we got to be better in short yards and we got to be better at getting to the quarterback. Those are the two evergreen comments that I've heard the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Since Harvey Dahl and Claybo and some of those guys left, I feel like
even
that's been the thing.
But even we in 2010 were not great in short yardage situations. We just weren't. Ovie Mahaley had a lot to do with some of the success they did have back then. But we weren't great in short yardage on offense or defensive line.
Yeah, but it feels like it went off a cliff in 11. And it's never come back.
In
2011, and I think the playoff game
Harvey
is,
leaves in 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, Garrett Reynolds is 2011. Yeah. There's some of that for sure. But I don't think it was ever great in 2010 when I was here either. So, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things that it's frustrating because everybody talks about Bijan and his fantasy numbers and touchdown totals, and you're like, I don't ever know how good it's going to be because you really aren't great inside the five, and that's where you would lean on a top five tailback to be able to get those numbers, but it is what it is at this point.
Baron Burns W Sauce Fire Shower breakfast sauce too. I'm gonna have to make something, do a new recipe. I haven't done one in a while, and find something I can share with you guys that you can use a different way. You know, not just marinating or using it as a dipping sauce, but something you can make different types of sauces. I made something during the Super Bowl, Allie, and it was almost like it came out to, it was like boss. And some other things. It almost came out like a Zach sauce. It was really good.
Interesting.
Really good. Use it as a dipping sauce. But so Halloween is coming up, apparently, because I'm now giving ideas for Halloween sent to me by my wife. And she was like, hey, you know that golf cart that you bought a while back and that has not moved in 2 years? I'm like, yeah. She goes, I think it'd be nice if it was running by Halloween. Because we got a big neighborhood. We do Halloween right in our neighborhood. I was like, all right. So I told you guys, Amazon Prime Day, I bought a battery.
Right.
Well, went to put the battery in. Battery wouldn't fit. So I decided that I would watch some videos. Talked to my buddy Wilson, and he has a golf cart too. His is a little bit newer and a different brand, but we both had bought the same lithium battery. And
Wilson!
So I Googled some stuff. He goes, dude, it'll fit. I saw this on this forum. And I go, all right. So I figured it out. And the guy, I messaged this guy on the forum. He's like, yeah, you just got to take the body off. And I'm like, all right. So my golf cart is now completely disassembled from the steering wheel back.
Goodness.
And I bought some tires, too. Bought new tires. So I'll put the new tires on. Golf cart body still off. Yesterday, got home from camp, did some editing for some stuff for Falcons and the Caden Ellis interview and sent it over to Dylan and sent stuff over to some other people. And then I was like, all right. Wilson's like, I'm coming over, man. I'm getting off work. I was like, all right, let's get to work. We got it running.
Nice.
So the thing's running, but nothing's put together. So the body's not attached. We just slid it over. I put the seat on and I'm driving this in my neighborhood. Like, no roof, nothing. And the thing is flying. And my other buddy, my neighbor, Rizzo, comes across. He's like, hey, is this thing running? I was like, hey, you got to hold Mel. So he's holding Mel. I just went to the S drive. Next thing I know, my other buddy pulls up on his golf cart. Was that you? Saw somebody fly down the road in the golf cart. I was like, I didn't know who it was. I was nice. Like, yeah, it was me. So now everybody's in my garage. And we're talking about rewiring some stuff, like the lights. And my buddy Wilson goes, man, these lights, I'm just sketchy. I mean, you could get a new, you get some off Amazon pretty cheap, LED upgrade.
So you got a new golf cart?
No, it's an old golf cart.
I know, but it's going to be a new golf cart.
Yeah, the way you're upgrading it.
So here's what made me realize I've gone kind of Mike on this, is I went upstairs and told Amos, I think I'm going to order those headlights. She goes, look. This isn't going to be a situation where you're working every day in the garage with the entire neighborhood on this damn golf cart. She didn't say damn. I put that in there because that's what I'm projecting. And I go, no. I go, I don't want to be working on it either. I said, trust me. Wilson's coming over next week. We're going to do the headlights and the brake light. We're going to read the light, and we're going to put a blinker and everything. It's going to be street lit. And then I'm done. I'm done. But then again, I saw a new steering wheel.
There you go. You got a stereo in that thing yet?
Yeah. I mean, I've got like three golf speakers that I can just put on the frame and just drive around with it.
Stereo in that thing playing spooky music by Halloween.
I'm afraid I've turned my golf cart into a DIY project. And it's like, it's turning into, I'm just completely redoing it.
Yeah, you have. And your wife is a saint. Amy, good luck to you over these next few months.
You should have seen yesterday, like, she's on the phone with her boss. Mel's getting out of a nap, and I'm downstairs, like, all in this thing. I'm, like, running upstairs, like, putting the passy back in. Like, come on. Go back to sleep.
Well, that is going to do it for us today. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. We are back out at Flowery Branch tomorrow for Falcons training camp. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.